We'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. Glad you're here. I was thinking during prayer, listening to the prayer, how blessed that we are as a people to have the truth. It seems there's very few today that really want to hear the truth. Maybe they want to hear it. Maybe I should say they don't really want to embrace it. Because for one reason or another, they're not able to bring themselves or come to the place where they are willing to accept it and to receive it into their heart and life. And I'm surely thankful for the truth. It has changed my life. It has put me on a good path, a clean path, a pure path. It made a difference in my home, made a difference in my family. It just was the best thing that I ever did when I accepted the truth in my heart. Desire your prayers. I'd like the Lord to ask the Lord to bless this morning His Word. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read the 9th chapter of Mark. And I'm going to begin in the 42nd verse. And Jesus, these are Jesus' words. And I've said many times, you know, the Bible is all important. And there isn't any fillers in there. It's all, everything that's put in the Bible is important to us. Good for us. But when I see the red letters, it really makes me stand up and pay attention, because Jesus, the Son of God, said these things. And He said, whosoever, verse 42, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in Me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The worm here is the soul. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. I want to consider a couple things this morning by the help of the Lord. I want to consider how important it is for those that are saved to be established. I was thinking about some of the big businesses that we have in our country today. I thought about the Mellon Bank that was established back in the 1800s. I thought about the oil industry, the Rockefellers, that was established back in the 1800s, and the steel industry, many big companies that we have today have been established. They've been around for a long time, and most of them have a track record of success. It isn't just how we do something or how well that we do something, But it is where our foundation is.
Yes.
What we are standing on. What we have established. Jesus told Peter and the disciples, "Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church was established, as we know it today, the church was established in Jesus Christ. He's the rock. He's the foundation. It's not Peter, but it's Jesus Christ. And He is the foundation, and He desires, His purpose, His intent is for every one of us to be founded upon Him. Because when we're founded upon Him, we're founded on something that will stand the test of time. Something that is solid, something that will hold us up in the midst of our trials and burdens and tests of life. It is a sure thing. Jesus is speaking here of being offended. It is a sure thing that if we live very long, that somewhere down along the line, we're going to be offended about something. Someone's going to say something. Someone's going to do something. The enemy's going to come in and present his thoughts to us. And we're going to get offended over things. But Jesus here is teaching something. When He says to cut off the hand and cut off the foot and pluck out the eye, He's not talking about the literal body. Sometimes people don't know when to take the Scriptures literal or when to take it spiritual. But He's not talking about the literal body. And I want to say for just a moment here that the things that would hinder you and I from becoming established in our walk with the Lord, whether it's our lack of faith or whether it's the things of the world that draw us away and tempt us, and the places that we're weak at in our life, whatever it may be, the Lord wants us to get a victory over them. He wants us to overcome them. He wants us to be established. One thing that Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he went around and he established churches, his burden, if you read Paul, you'll find very quickly that his burden was to be rooted and grounded and settled in the truth. In the truth. Not to your own imaginations, your own thoughts, your own ideas, but to be rooted and grounded and settled in the truth. Because the truth is Jesus Christ. And that's the place that we get that we become stabilized. You know what I mean when I say stabilized? We're not wishy-washy. We're not back and forth. But we find a foundation. We can find a consistency in our life that we're able to stand true and faithful no matter what may come our way.
Yes, amen.
Now, Jesus here is speaking. And the 49th verse is the one that I really want to point out to us this morning. He said, "Everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." I thought about the fire. Jesus first talked about here about the people that would be cast into hell fire. Well, that's eternal damnation. That's a different kind of fire than what he's talking about in the 49th verse. Years ago, wife and I were over in Hawaii, and we saw the sugarcane fields. We saw fire and smoke coming up out of them while we were over there. And we learned from the natives in Hawaii that before they harvest the sugarcane, they set the fields on fire. And what it does, it runs out all the varmints, the snakes, and things like that, and it gets rid of all the things that are not part of the sugar cane, burns it off, doesn't hurt the sugar cane at all. It doesn't hurt it, but it purges the field. It cleanses the field. And when the workers go in the field then, they don't have to worry about running into the snakes and the varmints and whatever may be in there, but they're able to go in then and harvest the sugar cane after they have set fire to the field. I want to tell you this morning, if you're saved, you're going to be going through the fire. No doubt you've been going through the fire. He said, "Every sacrifice, every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." Fire can be a very good thing. Now, the eternal fire of damnation, of course, that's not going to be a good thing for the souls of men. But I want to reflect here this morning, in order for you and I to be established and to be faithful and settled, the first song that we sang today, I thought, Lord, this is so appropriate, be an overcomer. The Lord desires for us to be an overcomer. And I believe if we're saved this morning, the Lord, that we desire to be an overcomer. Yes. We desire to endure unto the end, don't we? That we might have that crown of life that's promised us. But in order for us to be an overcomer, in order for us to get established in the truth, get established in the faith, to get established in our Christian walk with God, we're going to go through the fire, meaning that we're going to be tested. We're going to be tried. There's going to be hard and difficult places come in our lives. There's going to be times of disappointment. There's going to be times of sorrow. There's going to be times of affliction that are coming up, that will be coming our way. Every sacrifice, he said, will be salted with salt, and every one shall be salted with fire. You and I have laid ourselves, our bodies, presented ourselves before the Lord, and given ourselves as a sacrifice unto God. And God is going to prove us, and we're going to be tried, and we're going to go through places that we don't understand, places that we're not going to be able to handle within ourselves. And we need God. We need the grace of God to do that, don't we?
Yes.
We need the Lord this morning. I want to say that every one of us that have consecrated ourselves to the Lord, we did that in a time of a heated moment. A time of conviction when God was dealing with our hearts and we came to an altar of prayer and we said, Lord, I give my all to You. I want You to take me and use me and do with me as You see fit. I want to be faithful. I want power to overcome. And I want to do this and I want to do that. Well, let me tell you something this morning. There will be times that will come into your life when God is going to require that vow that you made to Him. He's going to require that sacrifice at a time when you don't feel like it. In the time when you don't feel the heat of the moment. At a time when you're under such burdens and such troubles and sorrow. God is going to require that from you and I. We are going to be salted with fire, folks. The Lord is proving His people. As the more wicked that the world gets, the more evil that is in our world today, the more you and I are going to be tried. The more you and I are going to be purged. The more you and I are going to be tested in the difficult things of life. God is looking and calling a pure people, a holy people, a godly people, a people that will serve Him regardless of what's going on around them, regardless of the tests that come their way. Folks, tests are designed, trials are designed to help you and I to grow stronger in the Lord. They're not designed. God doesn't send along something to cause you to want to just quit and give up. They're designed for you and I to go through them, to go through them with the grace of God, and to get victory on the other side and be stronger than we was before we ever went into trial.
Yes, that's right.
Sometimes I've found it kind of almost comical. Years past, the young people, the people that some people get saved, and it seems like they're just zealous for the Lord. And they just want to do this and they want to do that. And they look around at some of the other saints and they see how they're able to do this and able to do that. Folks, I'm going to say this morning that God doesn't send you any trial that He knows you're not able to handle with His grace. If you've been saved 10 years, He's not going to send something your way that He may send someone that's been saved for 40 years. Because remember David. David is a good example of this. David didn't kill his giant till he slayed the bear and the lion. God knows how to deal with each and every one of us. He knows what it's going to take to get us to heaven. And He's very interested in that. He's very interested in that. He is not going to give us something to overwhelm us. Whenever we feel like it's more than we can handle, that's not a call to give up, but it's a call to pray. It's a call to draw closer to the Lord and seek the Lord in behalf of your soul, in behalf of your need. It's the time to draw as close to Him as you possibly can, because I trust the Lord. God and His Word has been established for through the ages. God has a good track record, folks. And I believe that He's going to deal with me honestly. I believe He's going to deal with me faithfully. I don't believe He's going to give me something that's too hard. Sometimes we say, Lord, this is too hard. I can't do this. But we need to just step back and look at the situation with God in the situation. Knowing what God can do with these things, folks. Sometimes we get the idea, I can't do it. It's too hard. No, David couldn't do things either, because it was too hard for a little boy to do. But with God, folks, he was successful. And he told those people, he said, the battle's not ours, but it's God's. And as you live for the Lord and give yourself over to the Lord wants you to be established. He wants you to be settled and rooted and grounded, that when the big things come, or the little thing, whatever may come, he don't want you moving and shaking back and forth. He wants you to be firm. He wants you to be able to trust Him. He wants your faith to increase. He wants you to grow in Him. Amen. Growing in the grace of God. Peter said in one place about growing in the grace and in the knowledge of God. Well, there's a lot of people that have knowledge. There's a lot of people that know what the Bible teaches, but they don't have the grace to live to that. People that are out in sin today. I've heard people say, you know, I believe what you're doing is right. I believe what you're saying is right because it says it in the Word of God. But I can't live that way. I just can't live that. Peter said to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. We not only grow in the knowledge. You may hear something the preacher has preached, or something's been taught, or something you've read in the Word of God, and you see what God is requiring. You say, I can't get to that. Grow in the grace of God. We sang that song this morning too, didn't we? The grace of God that brings salvation. I thought the song service was very appropriate for how the Lord had been dealing with me. Grow in the grace of God. Every sacrifice, folks, you and I are the sacrifice. We have been laid on the altar of sacrifice laid. And He said, every sacrifice shall be salted with fire and salted with salt. May the Lord help us today to understand that God is doing everything that He can to establish us. Everything that He can to help us. Lord, folks, we're living in a wicked world. We're living in evil times. The influences that are all around us, and people are so susceptible to influence. Whenever someone that we love is doing something, someone that is close to us is doing something, they can influence us if we're not careful. We're very susceptible to influence. And it's all around us today. The evil is all around us today. Lord, help us. I believe it's possible to live a holy and a godly life even in this present world. The grace of God that brought salvation has come to you and I, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous and godly in the world to come? No, in this present world. And sometimes we say, I've been by the bedside of those that were afflicted and those that were dying. And I remember one sister said especially, she said, the Lord... She told my wife and I, she said, the Lord said He wouldn't put on more than we're able to bear. And sometimes she said, I have to say, Lord, are You sure about that? Are You sure that I'm able to bear this? No, she's not. But by the grace of God, folks, where's our focus at? Is our focus on the affliction? The Scripture said the light affliction, they're just but a moment. But they work for us a far more an eternal and exceeding weight of glory. Keep our eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on your soul and your salvation. And realize that the devil is doing everything and going to do everything he can to take it away from you. If you let him. You can't do it if you don't let him. But if you keep yourselves in God's hands, and you get established and firmly rooted and grounded. One of the scriptures, James tells us, he says, establish your hearts. Establish your heart. Another place he says, be established in the faith. The Lord says for you and I to be established tonight, this morning. Now, I want to bring in another thought, try to tie these in together. One of the things that hinders people from becoming established is not being willing to let things go. One of the main reasons that I can understand is that people don't get saved and don't give their heart to the Lord is because they're not willing to let things go. Something about us human nature, that there's things that we set our affections on, things that we're tied to, and we don't want to let them go. But I'm going to tell you this morning, in the fear of God, God says for you and I to let it go. We've got to let this world go. We've got to let things go. Because I'm going to tell you that whatever it is that you've got your value set on, whatever it is that you think is so important to you, when you come down and draw your last breath, none of those things will be important to you. None of those things will be important to you, folks. So let's focus on the thing that is important to us. Because Brother Carl always says, at the end of every man's life, there's God. We know we're going to meet God. We know we're stepping out into His in eternity, and we're going to meet Him at the judgment. We know those things. And so the things that would hinder us from doing that, we need to let them go. We need to let them go. I had this scripture on my heart, and Brother Marty spoke about it last night. I'd like to speak about it too. About that young rich ruler that came to the Lord. And he'd been a good moral person. Have you ever run across people who said, well, I'm just as good as anybody else. I don't steal, and I don't curse, and I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't, you know, I'm very trustworthy. I'm a good moral person. Let me tell you something this morning. Mary, Jesus' mother, I believe she was saved. But you know why she was saved? Because she needed a Savior. Jesus. She needed a Savior too, didn't she? Even though she was the mother of Jesus, she needed a Savior. No matter who we are, no matter how good we are, no matter how holy that we think we are, if you haven't been saved, I want to tell you this morning, you need a Savior. We need a Savior. So this young man, he comes and he asks the Lord, what could he do to inherit eternal life? And that's another issue that I have this morning. There isn't anything you and I can do to inherit eternal life. The thing that we can do is give our heart to the Lord and let Jesus, let God work in our hearts and lives. Let Him work through our trials, through our tests, and bring us to the place where we're worthy to enter into eternal life with Jesus Christ. So the Lord told him to keep the commandments. Oh, I've kept those all my life. Well, he said, do I lack anything else? And the Lord said, go and sell everything that you got. And when he heard that, he said he went away sorrowful. Now, why did he go away sorrowful? Because he had possessions. He had riches. You and I sometimes, most of us, I don't know if anybody in here is rich. Some of us have the means that we need to live from day to day. But as far as riches is concerned, what do we really have? What do you really... Ask yourself the question, what do you really have that's so important that's more valuable than your soul? What do you really want to hold on to that's more valuable than your soul? And now this is the Satan-centered alike, folks. You and I can get caught up in places where we get involved in things that can draw our minds and hearts away. Jesus said, let not your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. Folks, don't get yourself caught up with the affairs of life and the cares of life. Because those things will choke out your very spiritual being. if you get caught up with those things. Every sacrifice should be salted with fire, and every sacrifice salted with salt. Let it go. You know, I'm going to tell part of this, and I don't mean to be funny this morning, but I'm going to remind you of how important it is to let things go. When I was a boy, my dad and my uncle, we were down on his little farm in Kentucky, and he had a hog that was rooting up the pond and messing up the dirt around the pond, and he wanted my dad to help him put a ring in his nose. So they got the hog in the barn, went up there on Saturday morning, and I went up there following because I wanted to watch all this. They were a couple old farmers anyway. And they got the hog in the barn. It was a big one. And they got the rear end of the hog in the corner of one of the corrals, and my Uncle Sam got on the hog and grabbed him by the ears, and he was holding him back. And my dad was creeping up on him with the pliers and the ring, and he says, "You sure you got him?" "Oh, I got him, Bill." He said, "Go ahead and put it in there." And so my dad reached up and he crimped it in there, and that old hog, them feet started going, and my uncle, he was a pretty good sized man, he held that hog right there in place and said, "Put another one in, Bill. Are you sure you can hold that? That's a big hog." "I got her. I got her." Folks, we get to thinking sometimes, we got it. I got it. I'm in control of this. Do you know the devil has things, devices to bring against us that will control us if we're not careful?
Yes.
The devil controls things. The devil has power. I don't want to give him no glory this morning, but he has power. It's borrowed from God, but he's got power. And he controls things. And he's got devices that he will put on mankind to control us if we're not careful. If we're not careful. So my dad got another ring and he inched up toward that hog. And my Uncle Sam got him settled down a little bit. And he reached in there and he put another ring in his nose. And with that, the hog got some traction. And it started across that corral, and I watched this. And it started across the barnyard there, and that hog knew there was a door there that would swing open so they could go in and out in the heat and the cold and whatever, go outside, and that hog was headed right for the barn, and my uncle was right on top of it, still holding on to the ears of the hog. And whenever he got to the side of the barn, I can still see it today. My uncle turned his head sideways just as he smacked his head right upside the barn. The hog went out the door, and my uncle landed on the floor. Out cold. My dad went over there, and he shook him, and my dad was scared. And I was bent over laughing so hard I couldn't hardly stand it. And he was out cold, and he shook him, and he wouldn't respond. And my dad turned to me, and he said, "You better quit laughing, I'm going to whip you." And I said, "You'll just have to whip me, because I can't quit laughing." You know, that's ridiculous, isn't it? It's a ridiculous story. I understand that. But my dad went back to him, and he was scared. And he went back, and he shook my uncle again. And finally, his eyes kind of rolled a little bit, and he fluttered, and he saw that he was all right. And when I saw that he was all right, I left. But I heard my dad say, "Why didn't you let it go?" And my uncle said, "I couldn't, Bill. I couldn't let it go. The grip was so tight." That's the way people have sin today. The grip is so tight on sin, on the world, the things that you think are so important. The things that you think are so valuable, you got a grip on those things and you won't, or you feel like you can't let it go. That's only the devil telling you that. That's all it is. My dad said to him, "Well, you sure let it go when it hit the side of the barn, didn't you?" What's it going to take, folks, for some people to let it go? What's it going to take as God deals with you and I? You see, He is endeavoring to establish His people. He wants us to be established. He doesn't want to start out, want us to start out this journey and not finish it. When we start out on this journey living for the Lord and we don't finish it, all we do really is bring a reproach upon the cause of God. And like Moses told God back there when he wanted to destroy the people, we're just telling people that it's too hard and we can't do it. This isn't too hard, folks. Because I'm going to tell you something. I've been both ways. I've been deep in sin in the world. I've been there and I've done that. And I can tell you this right now. Whether you're saved or you're not saved, you're going to go through trials and tribulations. That's just what's out there in the world. You're going to deal with those things whether you're saved or you're not saved. You're going to deal with those things. And I want to encourage every one of us to examine ourselves and see if there's anything that would hinder my journey to heaven that I'm not willing to let go. Anything that I'm not willing to let go. Sometimes we take up things that in our life that we don't even realize. The enemy's subtle, isn't he? The Bible said he was the more subtle of all the ones there in the garden. He's still subtle today. He still will bring things in, impose things. Maybe you don't even realize it. But he's trying every day to destroy everyone that he can. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Lord, help us today to examine our lives. What is so important? What is so important? Jesus said, if your eyes are looking at things that they shouldn't be looking at, pluck them out. Because it's better to enter into life with one eye than to have two eyes and enter into everlasting hell. To be cast into everlasting hell. Jesus says this. What thing that the places that my feet take me, that I feel like are so important, the things that I pour in my mouth, the things that I'm drinking, the things that I'm saying. If these things are offended, if my hand is causing, if I'm doing things with my hands that I ought not to be doing, Lord, help me to be willing and say, Lord, these things are destroying my soul. I need to let it go. I need to give it to the Lord, what I need to do. I need to let it go. And I need to give it to the Lord. I remember I left that barn and I went down to the house where my mom and my aunt was. And I sat down real quietly. My laughing was over. And my mother looked at me and said, "What's the matter, Larry?" And I said, "I'm going to get a whipping." "Well, what'd you do?" And I told her what happened. My aunt jumped up, started hollering. And she was concerned about her husband. And I told her, "Don't worry about Sam. He's fine." I said, "I'm the one that needs help." And I said, "Dad didn't say, or I'm going to whip you. He said, I'm going to whip you." And I couldn't stop laughing. My mom said, "Oh, I don't." My mom intervened for me that day. I appreciated that. She gave me most of my whippings, but that day she kept me from a dandy. And I appreciate that. Folks, let it go. And I tell that story from time to time because it is a vivid reminder of me of how important it is not to hold on to things that will cause me to lose my soul. A very vivid reminder. Let it go because it will destroy you. He said he couldn't let it go. But when his head hit the side of the barn, he lost his grip on it and he let it go because it knocked him out. Are we going to wait, some of us, until the devil brings us down to a place where we've spent our life and our bodies are wore out and we're about to draw our last breath because we haven't been willing to let it go? I think that's a fair question to ask ourselves this morning. Lord, help us today to be established. Established. If you're not saved, you need to get saved and get established. As I said at the beginning, there's not very many today. And I know there's not. You do too. that are willing to accept the truth. Oh, the church buildings are filled throughout our nation. A lot of people going to church, but there's very few willing to accept the truth. And Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's the only way we're going to be free. The only way we're going to be able to let it go is accept the truth from God's precious Word. I thank the Lord this morning for the truth of God's Word. I'd like to look at another scripture found in the 49th chapter of Genesis. It's a story about the patriarch, Jacob. He had 12 sons who became the 12 heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob, patriarch, the daddy, the father. And it says in Jacob, Genesis 49, Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days." Jacob's calling in his sons now, and I'm going to tell, he's about to leave the scene. He's going to tell them. You know, the old gray head has some wisdom, should have. The old gray head is experiencing things. Jacob been through a lot. He wrestled with an angel, didn't he? And he'd been through a lot. And now he was going to tell his sons a little bit about themselves and what he saw in them. He said, "Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power." In other words, Reuben, you're the firstborn. When you were born, I was at my strongest. I was at the peak of my strength in my life. The peak of my life. He said, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Reuben, when you were born, I remember my firstborn. I remember how precious that child was to us. I remember how I held her. I remember when she had colic and was crying just unmercifully, and I would hold her tight so she couldn't hardly move. She was squiggling and crying so hard. I remember my firstborn. Loved her dearly. She was very valuable to me. Still is. Reuben, you're my firstborn. But he said, "You're unstable as water." You know, the opposite of being established is being unstable and not being established. "Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because thou wentest up to my father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch." Reuben, you've disappointed me. My oldest son, you went up to your father's bed and defiled us my couch. You wasn't able to control your passions. You wasn't able to control your spirit. Can any of us in here this morning control our spirits without the grace and the help of the Lord? None of us. There's been many that have that some of us, the older ones especially, remember. And we have them today, the ones that could not control their spirit. The ones that were unstable in their life. Oh, they were popular. Oh, the people flocked to them. They made a lot of money and they were famous, but they couldn't control their spirit. One that I think of quite often is Elvis Presley, who's been gone a few years now, and some of you never heard of him maybe. But here was a man, God gave him a voice and He gave him the ability, and he took that and he went out and he got fame and he got money and he was able to have and do everything that he wanted, and he came down to his life in his 40s. with drugs bloated up like a big balloon almost, just from swelling of the drugs and things that he was on. Died at an early age because of all these things, and he wasn't able to control his spirit. It cost him his life at an early age. There's been others, many others, but I won't go into naming anymore. The point is, Lord, help us today to be able to control our spirit. The only way that we can do that is being established. Established in the truth of God's Word. Established in the faith. Folks, if we can't control our temper, if we can't control our tongues, we need help. We need help. These things could trip us up and cause us to lose our souls. Brother John and I was talking on the way down, and I told him about a couple of different types of Christians. He acted like he'd never heard them before, but I'm going to tell you what they are this morning. I found in down through the years, there's two basic type of Christians, and I put them in this category. There's thermometer Christians. When the going gets rough, the devil can come along and he can cause them to lose control and doubt and get all bent out of shape and all that. As the thermometer goes up, they go up. When the thermometer goes down, they go down. The thermometer Christians are unstable, just like Reuben. Unstable as water. You take water and pour it on this desk and it'll run anywhere it wants to run. Whenever you're in the enemy's territory and the enemy's got a grip on you and you're not willing to let those things go that he's using against you, folks, you're going to be just like that. You're going to be just as unstable as water. There's also the thermostat Christians. The thermostat Christian. You know, you take that thermostat in here, sitting back there on the wall, you put it on a certain temperature. And if the temperature goes up outside, you get cool. If it goes down, it stops running. But it stays the same. It's consistent in all situations. That's what God is wanting you and I to be today, folks. He wants us to be thermostat Christians. He wants us to be able to be set, established, rooted and grounded and settled in the faith. And He wants us to be in a place that what, no matter what comes, no matter what I have to face, no matter what I have to deal with, He wants us to be right there, stable, settled, established. That's what He wants. That's what He's looking for out of every one of us. You know, thermostat Christians are dependable. They're dependable. You can call them any time for prayer. They don't have to get down and pray for themselves first because they're prayed up. They're living close to God as they know how to live. They're stable. You can count on them. You can count on them to be there. You can count on them to be there for you. You can count on them to be in the service and the services when the doors are open. Unless there's something major hindering them. You can count on them. You can count on them to be the example that we need today. You can count on them to be an example of faith. You can count on them to be an example of trusting God under every circumstance. God has a good track record, folks. He got an excellent track record. He promised us, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And He said, I'll be a very present help in every time of trouble. Do we believe that? Well, Lord, it seems like it's just getting a little too hot in here and I'm going to have to turn the thermostat down and cool things off. I believe the Lord has a set temperature for His people. That no matter what we face and no matter what we deal with in life, that God will be there to meet us if we'll just stay calm, collected, and trusting. in the power of God and God's Word working in our hearts and lives. Oh, there are some people, I realize, that are insecure. Feel insecure, feel like... I had someone tell me the other day, endeavoring to live for the Lord, I feel like they're doing real good. I feel like they're doing real good. Well, I just don't feel like I'm just accomplishing much. Don't feel like this, don't feel like that. You know what? A thermostat Christian won't listen to the lies of the devil. A thermostat Christian won't listen to the devil. Because the devil, if the devil's talking to you and it's discouraging you, it's the devil. God doesn't come along and talk to you to discourage you. He doesn't bring discouraging thoughts. But He brings comforting thoughts. Even when He was dealing with the church at Ephesus, when He told them that they had left their first love, first of all, He commended them, didn't He? For everything that they had done, for the things that they had accomplished, and how that they still was doing the things that they ought to do. But He said, you've left your first love. The devil comes along and he says things to us and he gets us all down and discouraged and he doesn't give us any way out. He just leaves us there. The Lord told him after He said, you've lost your first love, He said, this you need to do. Repent. And go back and do your first works over. Folks, that's how God deals with us. If God wants to show us something, a place in our life, a mistake or a failure that we've made, if He wants us to show us places for it to grow and develop and get stronger in the Lord, He'll come along and He will commend us first, and He may point out some things, but He'll show us what we need to do to get it corrected. The devil doesn't do it that way. Do you know how to fight? Do you know who you're fighting? Sometimes I think people are fighting against God. I know God gets blamed for a lot of things He's not guilty of, when it's really the devil that's coming along imposing. The Bible says He's an accuser of the saints. He's an accuser of the brethren, folks. And you need to remember that. What kind of a Christian are we? How strong are we in the faith? I'm never going to take away the fact that we're all human and that we're in the flesh. And I've told my congregation many times, and when I get to find myself in hard, difficult places, I don't know what I'll do. Honestly, I don't know what Larry will do. But I know what the grace of God can do. I've seen it. I've seen it work. And I know what the grace of God can do. The grace of God is able to keep us. The grace of God is able to enable us to stand true and be strong and faithful, even in these last days, even in these perilous times that we live in. I want to look at another scripture found in Psalms, the book of Psalms, the 57th chapter. Verse 5 says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They've digged a pit before me. Into the midst thereof they are fallen themselves. My heart is fixed. The things that the enemy has designed against your soul, the things that the enemy has designed to trip us up and to cause us to fail, where is our heart tonight, this morning? How is our heart settled? Do we have it settled? The writer here said, they have designed things against me and they've fallen themselves in their own traps. But he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, as for me, my heart is fixed. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. And I will sing and give praise. Many times When you get in hard and difficult places, one of the best things you can do to defeat the devil is to begin to praise God. Look for a song and begin to sing that song that will bless you and strengthen you and encourage you, folks. My heart is fixed this morning that by the grace of God, no matter what, no matter who would offend me, I'm going to make heaven my home. You know, the bottom line of all of this for us is that we're in charge of our own souls. You can't keep me out of heaven. And I can't keep you out of heaven. But you can keep yourself out of heaven. We can keep ourselves out of heaven. Lord, help us this morning. One writer said, "The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth though them that are His. And let every one that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." We still have a song in our book that says sin can never enter there. So we need to be careful of how we let things affect us in our lives. But I still want to stress my point, my burden this morning. We need to let things go. When we see they're choking us and they're choking God out of our life, when we see that they're causing us not to have time to pray as we ought to pray, to read the Word of God, to get along with God as we ought to get along with God, and we can see there's something that's hindering that, let it go. There's nothing more important than God in our souls. Nothing. There shouldn't be anything more important between you and God and your soul. Nothing more valuable than that. So may the Lord help us today. Every sacrifice is going to be salted with fire. Fire, we think of something that burns, and it does. It purges. It cleanses. Folks, when you and I consecrated ourselves, we were salted with fire. We were salted with fire. It was a purging time, a cleansing time. And as I said before, there's going to be times in your life that God's going to require you to stand by your commitment, even when you don't feel like it. I heard in this meeting about vows. It's very important that we stand by the vows that we made before God. Very important, isn't it? Lord, help us today. There's no reason, I'm going to tell you, there's no reason that any of us have to fail. There's no reason for failure. God has the grace and the power to bring us through anything. And I'm finding out in my own walk with the Lord that I've needed more grace, more strength, and more help from the Lord to get through some things. Folks, there are some things that will come along in your life that will break your heart. They'll break your heart. And if you let it, it'll destroy you. I don't want to let anything destroy me. I want to take my broken heart to God. I want to put it on the altar and leave it there. Submit it all to Him and give it in to His will. May the Lord help us today that we will live true and faithful, because, folks, my eye is on the goal. My eye is not on just today. My eye is on eternity and my crown and me being with God forever in eternity. That's my goal. That's my heart's desire. So whatever it takes, we want to make heaven our home, don't we? But I'm saying this morning that we can do that by the grace of God. But there is something that we have to do. Those things that would hinder us, we have to let them go. Sometimes God may intervene and take them away. We have that song that says, "Take the dearest thing to me," if that's the way that it has to be or must be. God may do that. So be careful with how you set your affections on things, on people, on things. God may take it. One of the things that I see God taking today is people's health. He's taken their health. He's taken their ability to live a reasonable... I can't think of the word that I want. Comfortable life. Because they won't turn to God. Let me say this before I sit down. My brother, one of my brothers, my youngest brother, he died several years ago now, back in 2001. He told the Lord, he said, when I retire, I'm going to get saved and live for you. He said, Larry, I didn't do it. And then he had a son that was put in prison. And I think it was through trumped up charges, but nevertheless, he was put in prison, embarrassed my brother very much. Our family's never had anyone like that. Then he said, I still didn't get saved because I was so busy. Are you busy? Are you busy? He said, then I found out one day I was busy doing nothing because I wasn't doing something about my soul. He waited and he waited until finally he lost his kidneys. They quit functioning. He had to go on dialysis. And then I got the call that said, Larry, I said, I understand you want to get saved, Charles. He said, I want to do that so bad I can taste it. I was down in South Carolina. He said, when you get home, I want you to come and pray with me. I called a brother in my congregation. He went over and he prayed with him. And the brother told me that he was saved before I ever got there. Folks, if we meet the conditions, if we get low enough, and we get desperate enough that we want God, God will meet us. God will meet you. And he lived saved for a long time before the Lord took him out of here. But folks, it didn't have to be that way. He died 2 days after he turned 62. You know, when I turned 62 a few years back, I was kind of cringing, wondering how much longer I was going to make it. But I made it past 62. He turned 62 on Sunday and died on Tuesday. But look what it took. And he was such a good man. You talk about a man with a big heart, would do anything, give you the shirt off his back. You've heard those stories. That's what my brother was. But he needed Jesus. He needed Jesus. He found him. But he lived his life so in such a way that he didn't really have time to give much back to God, did he? For all the blessings God had bestowed upon him. We need to consider ourselves this morning, every one of us. And be sure. Because that's why we're here. This is the most valuable, important thing to me, is to be sure that my heart's right. And that I'm ready to meet God when I draw my last breath. Let's get a song. And anyone here see something they need to let go, this is a good time to let it go.